And thank you so much, Pam, for that wonderful song and that testimony that you shared before that song. And it is amazing. I just got to do that. I just had to brag on our children this morning because they did. I know sometimes when I'm right in front of them, sometimes I have to get real close to them to hear too. It may be a little bit harder to hear when they're speaking, but they did. They were reminding us that Jesus lives, that Jesus is God. Jesus lives with God, that Jesus lives in heaven, and that Jesus lives with us. Children, they're able to hold all those opposing views a little bit better than we are as adults sometimes, but every single thing that they said this morning was absolutely correct. Because Jesus is God, and God is present with us here. God is present with us in the highest heavens. I want to invite you this morning in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Scriptures, the book of Psalms. Psalm 77 is going to be the text that I'm inviting you to consider this morning. As we have gathered here, I'm going to be reading this from a translation called the New Revised Standard Version. I encourage you; you're going to find it on the screen as well. I invite you to follow along in your favorite translation, or you can follow along on the screen. But I invite you to hear these words: "I cry aloud to God, that He may hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. And I think of God, and I moan. I meditate, and my spirit faints. Selah. You keep my eyelids from closing. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old and remember the years of long ago. And I commune with my heart in the night. I meditate, and I search my spirit. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has His steadfast love ceased forever? Are His promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has God in anger shut up His compassion? Selah. And I say, it is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I will call to mind the deeds of the Lord. I'll remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on your work and muse on all of your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What good is so great that is our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have displayed your might among the peoples. With your strong arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. The very deep trembled, and the clouds poured out water. The skies thundered. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea, your path through the mighty waters. Yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and of Aaron." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Everlasting God, certainly have you called us. And Lord, as we have come to hear your voice, you have led us. And we give you thanks for that this morning. We pray and ask, Lord, that as our hearts meditate upon these words, that you may speak into our lives. Lord, let us not be fearful of letting you change our very lives. And let us, O God, be open to where your Holy Spirit may be leading us in this very moment. I thank you so much, God, for the words that you have spoken into my heart. I thank you, O God, for the words that you have led me to consider on this day. And I pray and ask that as I preach, that these words may be pleasing to you. I pray also that they may be acceptable in your sight. For this we ask in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. As we turn to Psalm 77, there is a background that the psalmist is working from. There's a background that is part of his life and part of his experience. One of the most hope-filled stories in the entire world, lives well beyond the Bibles, lives well beyond our church, is the story of the Exodus. It is a story that has captured the attention of the world so often that it's portrayed in music, it's portrayed in art, it's portrayed in literature, it's portrayed in screens, really, really big screens, as well as really tiny screens that in my own age seem to be getting smaller and smaller. But it's a story of the Exodus, where slaves moved in the wilderness to become the people of God. It's depicted in the Hebrew Scriptures over and over about this movement of former slaves becoming the chosen people of God. Followers of Jesus would even encounter this story, not only the psalmist as from this morning, but followers of Jesus, Peter, in fact, reflecting on the Exodus, will write these words, generating hope in his own life, and will describe it this way: once you were not a people, this is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. And it was the idea. It was the idea that for these slaves, that they were nobody. That there were people that were just people that were at the very core of what they could do, just providing free labor. And then from the moment that God speaks to them, then they move in this journey to become the people of God. And as inspirational and as hope-filled as Exodus is, the Exodus was never a straight line. It was never the fastest route as our GPS points us toward almost daily, maybe even pointed you here this morning. But it was wandering. In fact, the Exodus was filled with misdirection. There were all kinds of course corrections along the way. Over 40 years from being slaves to becoming the people of God. And essentially, as Peter reminds us, from no one to becoming children of the living God. And as the psalmist teaches us, this happens not only to groups of people, but often all of us face moments of exodus. And as Psalm 77, our text for this morning, reminds us, that there are many times that an exodus will happen in our own lives and we find ourselves completely cut off. And we find ourselves completely alone, where it is just us and God, and calling out and wondering, is God present with me? Is God hearing me? Oftentimes we face moments of exodus aloud. And the most devastating to us is when we feel like we are alone and completely helpless. I cry aloud to God, the psalmist reminds us. Aloud to God that maybe God might hear me. In the day of my troubles, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is even stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. I think of God and I moan. I meditate and my spirit faints. You keep my eyelids, God, from closing. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. You know, we've been a few weeks in a conversation about hope. And I don't know if you find any hope in this section. Shane Lopez, a prominent researcher about hope, captured in his book, Making Hope Happen, says that for him, that to dedicate his life and his research to researching hope, that he says for him that everything changed for him when he discovered that hope can be learned. And from there, he says that hope-filled people, the most hope-filled people that we encounter in this world, are people who will discover that there are multiple pathways to hope. For example, moving from A to B, and recognizing that there is an obstacle that is in the place of A to B, and then recognizing, you know what, well, there is an option C, and there is an option D that's along the way too. And really, we don't need people to share that kind of hope with us that only study it from an academic perspective. Because we encounter people over and over whose own lived experiences point us toward hope. People of hope recognize that there's not a straight line to what Jesus has described as the more and better life of John chapter 10, verse 10. Or as the Apostle Paul will write in his letter to the Philippians, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything that is worthy of praise, think about these things. People of hope, people who live by hope, People that move beyond just talking about hope, but actually are able to generate hope in their lives, recognize that there are multiple pathways, multiple ways of getting there. And hope is really hard at times. Hope is really hard to generate in our own lives, even harder when we find that we are constantly being confronted with obstacles. You see, people of hope are able to see, much like our children are able to see, what at times are opposing views. People of hope see multiple pathways. When one door closes, another one opens, leading them to the more and better life that Jesus has invited all of us to embrace. And if you want to generate immediate hope in your life, embrace that right now. That idea that there are multiple pathways that are leading you to the more and better life that Jesus has promised. And you may be wondering that more and better life that Jesus talks about. Again, John chapter 10, verse 10. The Message translation will even offer it as a more and better life, more than you ever imagined. And you may be wondering, well, what would it be like? What would it be like to sit at the feet of Jesus? What would it be like to have that lived experience with Jesus present in your life? And there's a couple of chapters in the Gospel of Matthew that capture that beautifully. Because as you come to the end of chapter 9 in the Gospel of Matthew, there are a few verses that will remind us and will show us some of the things that Jesus was doing up to that point. Jesus was preaching. He was teaching in the synagogues. He was preaching, and then he was teaching in the synagogues. He was curing illnesses and diseases. In fact, Matthew says that every illness and every disease was cured by Jesus. And then Jesus will be caught as he looks out and he sees a crowd. And Matthew, once again, will capture this place where it says that Jesus, at the very end of Matthew chapter 9, that Jesus looked at the crowd. And as he looks and oversees this crowd that is gathered in front of him, Jesus is moved with compassion. There's this kind of pathos that emerges in Jesus' life, and he is moved with compassion as he looks over this crowd. He says they're harassed. He says they're helpless. He says they're like sheep that are without a shepherd, and he is moved with compassion, turns to his disciples. And then he says to them, he says, the harvest is plentiful, and yet the laborers are few. Then ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his field. Now this is the really good thing. This is the really good thing about Matthew chapter 9 and about Matthew chapter 10. Because what we get to see here is what it looks like to be with Jesus. What it looks like to live with Jesus. What it looks like to be surrounded by Jesus. And as he says, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his field. Jesus, in chapter 10, will do that very thing. He will invite disciples. People just like us. People just like us that have gathered here on this morning, who have heard Jesus' call to go, therefore, to the ends of the earth and make disciples of all nations. People who have invited Jesus to live in their hearts and to be a disciple of Jesus. In fact, they are to do exactly what Jesus has done. They will go through the cities, they will preach, they will teach, they will cure every disease and every sickness. Jesus has equipped them to do that. This is what it would be like. This is what it would be like to sit at the feet of Jesus as you prepare to go out. And yet, Jesus will remind them that as you go into these cities to preach, to teach, to cure every disease, to cure every sickness that is there, Jesus reminds them in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, that it is you, disciples, that I'm sending out, and I am sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves. And if you are not received in the house, shake the dust off your feet and move on. You see, even the disciples, equipped, empowered, sent by Jesus, will face times of shaking the dust off of their feet because they are going to face obstacles, and yet they are going to continue to move on. You all know that familiar phrase. I've already alluded to it, but you know that one. If A doesn't work, try plan B. But the disciples go well beyond that. In fact, they go all the way through the entire alphabet. Jesus will remind us that God is both Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. In fact, Alpha and Omega being the beginning and the end of the alphabet. but not just contingency plans, not just another way, but this sure hope of knowing that God is going to make a way for them, that through every obstacle that they will encounter, that there is going to be a way, that through every time that they shake the dust off of their feet, that there is going to be a new way. Hope is generated when we begin to live our lives knowing that if God is for us, then who can be against us? Again, Paul's words in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, as our psalm reminds us today, when we get to the end, followed by horse and chariot, when the water is too deep to cross, that is the very moment that we expect God to provide a miracle in our lives, a new pathway that opens up for you by a true and by a living God who, as Jesus has promised us, will never leave us orphaned and never leave us abandoned. That's how we generate hope in our lives. That's how we generate hope immediately. And the wonderful thing about it is that there is science that backs it up. The first time we began this series that I have been calling Hope is the Difference, we encountered Jeremiah. Jeremiah will emerge throughout the Hebrew Scriptures to be considered, even this day, is considered a major prophet, but we captured Jeremiah. We caught him when he was far from a major prophet. We caught him when he was wondering about this pathway that God was calling him to walk down, and we find him watching a master artist, an artisan at work, who was at a potter's wheel. And as Jeremiah overlooks this potter who is at the wheel, and as a potter does what potters do, as he takes something and finds a flaw in it and then destroys it and then rebuilds it right in front of Jeremiah's eyes, then God begins to speak deeply into his own life and into his own heart. And he says, can I not do to you what you were watching the potter do at that wheel? Can I not do to you, O house of Israel, what you were witnessing the potter do at this wheel? And as hope-filled as that story is, it doesn't only end there, because Jeremiah, a little bit later, well, in fact, before then, that potter story will happen a little bit later in Jeremiah's life, but early on in Jeremiah's life, as God begins to share with Jeremiah the vision that Jeremiah, in fact, will be a prophet to the nations, he invites Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, to stand at the crossroads. And a moment that all of us have experienced in our lives, to stand at the crossroads, moments where maybe we have felt like the psalmist, or maybe we're standing at the crossroads with all the hope that has been generated in our lives, but where, no matter where we are, to stand at the crossroads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way lies and walk in it and find rest for your souls. And I know for so many of us in this very moment and today, that is what we want. I know that that is what we want, is that we want rest for our souls. I know that we find ourselves at times chasing the next thing and wondering, when can I find that rest for my soul? And the message that I was sharing with our children is no different from us, although at times they grasp it a little bit quicker than we do. But the message that I was sharing for them is that God has revealed the pathway to hope right in front of us. Now, it doesn't mean that every obstacle has been removed, but it does mean that as we encounter obstacles, that God will once again reveal that ancient pathway where the good way lies and walk in it. And that is the way that we can find rest for our souls. And I know that that is the one thing that many of you need in this very moment, is that kind of rest in your soul. But once again, as our children have reminded us, that with Jesus as the way, Christ is present in each of our lives. We take for granted that God is present with us, that Jesus is present with us in the heavens. And take for granted that Jesus is present when we come to church. But as we leave, and as we follow our own pathways, Christ himself is with us, leading us in a way that leads to righteousness. And that, as Jeremiah will remind us, is how we can find rest in our own souls. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for multiple pathways. We thank you for multiple ways that lead us to hope. And Lord, as we place you at the very center of our hearts and our souls and our minds, as we ask you, O God, to lead us, to let us walk in those ways of righteousness, we pray and ask that for every obstacle that we may encounter, that you will reveal to us, that you will uncover right before our eyes another pathway, and that you may continue to enable us and equip us to walk in pathways of hope. We pray and we ask this all in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen.